Good day. Today we're talking to Bill Adamson, a practicing osteopath from Victoria, and our topic for discussion is back pain and how to treat and prevent back pain. Hi, Bill. Thank you for joining us today.
Hi, Irina. Thanks for having me.
So we all know that 80% of Australians experience back pain at some point of their life, and 10% have significant disability as a result. So why do you think we're facing those horrific numbers, and do you think it has something to do with our modern lifestyle?
Well, look, it's how long is a piece of string, I think, is the easiest answer. Back pain's a tough one. A lot of people do have it. There's varying studies that say varying amounts of people suffer it. One thing they all have in common is that a lot of people have back pain each year, and it also causes a lot of people to miss work, and so it impacts on the economy. But what it is and why it's occurring is tough. One of my biggest things, one of my biggest concepts that I work on in practice is educating patients and the public on what back pain is. I think there's a huge disconnect between where the science of pain and back pain is and what the public perception of pain and back pain is. In terms of the factors that go into it, a lot of people suffer back pain or have an acute burst of back pain, and that will resolve quite quickly. And other people have an acute burst of back pain and that will last longer. And we don't really know why that occurs. One of the main theories for that is that people's perception of their problem is poor. So if they've got an uncle who lost his job due to his back pain and never worked again, or someone whose brother had hurt themselves enormously and had a really bad back incident, or someone who's had a previous back incident before, their back pain can be worse and it can last longer because their brain and their subconscious is more afraid of what's occurring. So a lot of what we do in practice, I think, is taking people's fear away from what their back pain is. So as to the question, do you think it has something to do with our modern lifestyle? I think there, in a way it does, but I think it's because of the lack of education about what back pain is, what pain is, and how the body works in a broader sense of what's going on.
How do you think health practitioners can educate the public, and how can they educate people about back pain?
I think health practitioners, if they keep abreast of the current science and the current research, can do a really good job at taking patients' fear away from where their pain is. Most back injuries will respond. I find it one of the bizarre concepts for me is this idea of the bad back. Oh, I've got a bad back. You know, I hear many people talking about their bad ankle or their bad wrist so much. But those injuries tend to resolve, but the idea of back pain tends to linger much longer. So I think practitioners need to work on the education that back pain is just another injury that can respond really well with treatment, with exercise, with nutrition, whatever else needs to be done to make someone feel better. And that back pain won't necessarily come back if you've addressed all the factors that have led to the injury occurring.
I know that some of us, we experience slight back pains and discomfort, and most of the times we prefer to fix it ourselves. With home remedies, we take some painkillers, we take herbs, supplements. Do you think this is the best solution?
Well, it really depends on the injury. I personally, as an individual that's not an osteopath, when I have an ache or injury, I don't concern myself too much unless it's really severe pain or if it's associated with numbness or tingling or any sort of neurological symptoms or visceral symptoms. So I think the idea of just letting it go for a day or two is probably not a bad thing. However, at the same time, you don't want to let it linger for too long. If it's hanging around for more than a day or two, then it probably isn't a bad idea to go and see an osteo or a GP or a physio or someone else.
Do you think that stress can be the reason for back pain or chronic pain?
Stress is an interesting... I think stress is probably one of the most interesting ones involved in the human body and our aches and pains. And it really ties back to that first question of people's perceptions of pain. Stress is a really naturally occurring phenomenon and particularly useful through the evolutionary times. Stress sort of induces, in an acute sense, when something really nasty, say our ancestors are wandering along an ancient trail somewhere and a tiger leaps out at them, our body will go into a high state of stress and dump a huge amount of a hormone called cortisol into our system, and that enables our fright or flight response. which is great. So the tiger leaps out, we leap up a tree and we can get away, or we jump over the tiger and we belt it on the nose or whatever we want to do due to the huge amounts of cortisol in our system. And that's because of the stress that's been induced on the system. Now, if we move forward 2 million years into current days and current society, we don't have so many tigers leaping at us, but we do have a lot more smaller stresses, emotional stresses, work stresses, family stresses. And so we don't have that huge dump of cortisol in the system. We have a small trickle of cortisol that just sort of meanders along. Now, cortisol in itself is quite interesting because it does a number of things. We know cortisol it sort of prevents tissue healing and can affect other things like memory and weight and things, but mainly it affects tissue healing. So the way that I think that stress affects the body in terms of muscles and bones and joints and all the rest of it is that stress amplifies a signal that's already there. So stress won't cause, you won't get stressed and that will cause you to have right shoulder pain, or you won't get stressed and it will cause low back pain. But what stress may do is if you've got an underlying little biomechanical twist or overload of a muscle or joint, what may happen is that that increased stress will have that increased amount of cortisol, which will increase your susceptibility or your perception of pain in that area. So stress is a fascinating process. Well, I can talk about stress all day long, as I do with all my patients. But the main thing to release stress, I think, is probably important is, you know, meditation, exercise, talking to a loved one, having fun, you know, having fun and enjoying yourself, and not overthinking and not spending too much time driving our brain with distractions. So, you know, having our multiple tabs over the computer, looking at the screen all the time, watching television. My housemate's shocked at this. He sits there watching television with his phone open and his laptop open. He's got three separate things that his brain's trying to focus on at any one time.
Wow. Yeah, that's not good at all.
And that will increase the amount of cortisol ever so slightly in the system. And so I think that, in a way, because I always get a bit annoyed when the esoteric types sort of talk about stress causing things. I think stress is a factor involved in pain, but it's not necessarily the single cause of something.
Speaking about the treatment, so do you think osteopathy can be beneficial to patients with back pain? Because a lot of people, they know about osteopaths, they know that they exist, but they're not quite sure what to expect at a consultation and about the techniques the osteopaths use. Could you just walk us through this a little bit?
What a standard osteopathic session is?
Yeah, if say I have a back pain and I come over to you saying, do you know what, Bill, I do have some acute back pain, and I'm sure you were, so what are you going to do? What are you
stuck with? Yeah, look, it really depends. If you come in a wheelchair, I'll probably freak out and send you to hospital. But if you come in walking, then I might look at it in a different way. What we try to do, and this goes for any injury, not just back pain, but with any injury, what we try and do is we generally will take a history. So we'll go through who you are and what you do and what led to the injury and what the nature of the actual occurrence of pain was will be really interesting. Mm-hmm. And then if it wasn't a specific onset injury, we'll look at the process that led to you coming in. So it may have been you were digging holes for 2 weeks, didn't have any pain at the time. The day after digging holes, you bend over and pick up a piece of paper and then your back goes. So it's probably not bending over and pick up the piece of paper that caused the pain. It's probably the digging the holes for 2 weeks. And so we'll go through history. We'll figure out what you do for work. We'll go for, you know, figure out what you do outside of work. We'll figure out the nature of the injury, any medications, and just get a really general sense of who you are. And then after that history taking is done, we'll stand you up. We'll look at what your posture is, we'll look at how you move, we'll run you through a series of movement screens to check where restrictions are, what causes pain. One of the main things I try and do is replicate your pain. So what movement really causes your pain? And we'll also try to make sure there's nothing really nasty and serious going on. You know, if there's anything pathological that we have to be concerned about, then osteopaths are well trained to determine if it's a condition that is masquerading as a musculoskeletal injury. And if that's the case, then we'll refer you to the right person. But if it's not, which most of the time it isn't, then we'll use our hands and loosen things off and manipulate joints or stretch joints or settle the system down or do whatever is required to take that pain away. And the other thing that we probably do that I probably glossed over is explain what the nature of the injury is, because then we create a diagnosis. And so with the diagnosis, and I'm a big believer, the more the patient understands of their injury, the less I have to do to get him better, which is always a good thing. The lazier I can be, the better, for sure.
Would you recommend some exercises that I can do at home?
Yeah, for sure. So it depends on the practitioner. Some practitioners use exercise more than others. A lot of this younger generation are really big on giving exercise, and the older ones as well. But it's definitely been more of a fad recently, and it's very useful. And what osteopaths are quite good at doing is tailoring exercises to the individual, I think. And so if, you know, you ask the patient, are you likely to do exercise? And, you know, I reckon 60, 70% of them will say, no, I'm not very good at doing exercise, bugger off. Or they'll do them until they feel a bit better and they'll stop doing them. So, yes, exercise will be useful. I think exercises that fit into someone's life is even more useful. I think osteopaths are quite good at doing things that are realistic for patients. You know, sometimes the academic literature would suggest that you've got to do an exercise 20 reps four times a day. And there's very few patients or people in the public that are willing to do that, let alone osteopaths or physios or GPs. So, yes, exercises are useful, but they've got to be patient-dependent.
Right. Do you think exercises can be some sort of a prevention for the back pain?
Yeah, for sure. Movement full stop is a great prevention for any sort of pain. The more you move in the more directions and the more variety that you give the body, the more resilient it is to any sort of new types of strain. So I think that's the benefits of a lot of the movement-based therapies such as yoga or Pilates or dance or martial arts or some of the other ones like Alexander Technique and Feldenkrais is that they make the body move in different ways. If you sit in a sedentary lifestyle, you know, you drive to work, you sit at work, you drive home, you don't really challenge the body with different loads or with different levers or in different movements. And so therefore, give that example again. You've been sitting all your life and then you go for a run and you get a sore back. You know, no wonder you get a sore back. You haven't done it for ages. So, yes, exercise of any type will help the body be more resistant towards aches and pains.
Thank you, Bill. Any other tip or probably advice to all of our listeners how to prevent back pain or what to do if they experience back pain? Anything else you want to add?
No, I think it's pretty simple. The body's pretty good, you know. I think people's fear that their body is broken or they've got that really bad back or something is often a misplaced belief. I think gentle, easy exercise is good. Gentle, easy movement is good. If you have something go wrong and it lasts for more than a day or two, go and see someone, and generally you'll get better.
Thank you. This was Bill Adamson, a practicing osteopath from Victoria, one of the board members of Osteopathy Australia. Thank you, Bill, for joining us today.
Thank you, Irina.